Honey, I'm going out. I'll be back in a couple hours.
You play Farmville and call yourself a gamer.
You said awesome, and I said I hate it.
Okay, so here we go. This is where the extended knowledge comes in.
Don't mind me. I'm just staring at a wall somewhere.
Can anyone afford Benedict Cumberbatch?
That's surprising.
I don't think a human could make those sounds.
Yeah, well, you can do it, though, can't you?
Yeah, okay.
Hi, I'm Dean.
I'm Paul.
And I'm Jason. What? Welcome to Nerds Before Birds, the podcast where you'll find reviews, rankings, and general discussion on all things pop culture. This week on the show, we're going to have a retrospective look at 2017's Tom Cruise version of The Mummy, which was Universal's failed franchise attempt.
The best film ever.
I would just like to interject real quick. I don't think it was a fail.
You don't think it was a fail?
According to Box Office Mojo, it is ranked number one in the Dark Universe series.
That's pretty true. But you know what?
Here we go. The jokes are already starting.
You know what? It was never actually intended as number one. Did you know that? Number one in the Dark Universe was Dracula Untold. But then they're like, let's reboot the franchise before we even begin with this movie. So they're like, okay, let's scrap Dracula Untold and pretend like it didn't happen. And we'll reboot it with The Mummy. And then we'll go into another Dracula version down the track. And
I love it if they come back out and say, okay, new plan. Yeah. Let's forget The Mummy happened, but Dracula happened. We're going to reboot with Dracula, and then we'll somehow bring The Mummy into it.
Yeah, exactly. I feel like that will probably happen because, like, for all intents and purposes, I think Dracula Untold might have actually performed a little bit better than this. But
is that with what's his name? Shaw from.
Yes, it is with Shaw. I think so. I don't know for sure because I mean, like, it justified them actually considering it part of the Dark Universe.
Luke Evans.
So, it is Luke Evans.
Yep. Maybe it's a prequel.
Yeah, which it pretty much is to this Dark Universe.
I'd be keen for them to do the next step, which would be like, okay, so forget this Dracula, forget The Mummy, forget Dracula Untold. We're just going to go back to Brendan Fraser Mummy and and then we'll just work Dracula into that. That would be fantastic.
Just
skip it.
It's like, we're just going to go straight to Bride of Frankenstein. We'll just start there again.
Every
movie in the Dark Universe is just a new start.
Yes.
Until one of them hits. It's like DC.
Very true.
Eventually one of them will work out.
Maybe.
At least DC are committed. They haven't given up. So.
They really haven't.
All right. Back to this introduction to the movie.
Okay.
Alex Kurtzman, known for writing Mission Impossible 3, the 2009 Star Trek, and he sort of wrote some of Transformers Revenge of the Fallen, but that was mid-writer's strike, so that's kind of why that movie was so terrible. So there's he's got an out on that one, at least. He was the director for the film, but Cruise's often collaborator Christopher McQuarrie served as one of the six writers on this film.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Did you also know that he was he directed Tom in Jack Reacher and Rogue Nation?
Yes, and also Fallout and the next two Mission Impossible movies that are coming out be made. I don't know yet. I feel like this movie could actually almost fit into the Mission Impossible series.
Oh, God, don't do that.
Yeah.
There's enough into it
that ties into the style-wise it could sort of fit in. But anyways, that's for another day, I suppose. Do you think this movie soars like an eagle or does it flip the bird? Dean, what do you think of this movie?
Okay.
You love it, don't you? Favorite?
Disclaimer. Before I say anything, I enjoyed this movie more than I expected to. That is, from all the all the reviews and all the everything that I've heard about this movie, I thought it was going to be absolute toilet. It's not absolute toilet. It's not the worst film ever made. Having said that, it does flip the bird for me.
It does? Okay.
So, yeah.
Yeah, fair enough.
high on the flipping of the bird scale. It's not
right.
It's not terrible.
Yeah, okay.
But it's just bad.
Yeah, okay. That makes sense. Fair enough. Okay. What about you, Paul? What did you think of this movie?
If I'm completely honest, yep. I enjoyed this more than Captain Marvel.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, fair enough.
I agree with Dean. I went in with such low standards that I had fun. It's, you know, it's not a good movie. And I 100% guarantee that some of the acting is subpar and the story is kind of stupid. Yeah. But I thought it told a story well. You kind of give a crap about some of the characters. The comedy beats mostly hit. Not just good. It's a good movie. Yeah.
Well, there were scenes, like, there were specific scenes where I was like, why did this get panned so much? Why do people hate this movie? And then it would be followed by another scene. I was like, oh, yeah. Okay. Yep. It makes sense.
Like, you guys have only just watched this movie for the first time in like the last week, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Last night.
Yeah.
In the last week, yes.
Man.
Yeah, okay. Fair enough. I, tonight.
Literally 10 minutes before we started. Like,
10 minutes ago. Oh, man.
I watched this movie when it first came out on like digital release. I skipped it at the cinemas. That was the first time I watched it was actually at home. And I remember watching it just thinking, what a train wreck this film is. But watching it a second time, I was like, why did I not like this movie as much? Like, and I actually found myself enjoying it. It's like I forgave it a lot more for its misgivings sort of thing.
Right. Fair enough.
And it somehow, like, it grew on me a lot more. I'm not saying it's a good movie. It's definitely not a good movie.
That's a big disclaimer. It's not a good movie.
No.
But, you know, but it's worse stuff you can watch.
Enjoyable enough. Yeah.
Yeah. And Buster Scruggs.
I mean,
well, that's true.
It's on Netflix, so you don't like have to go out and spend money to see it anymore.
That's true.
So, you know,
that makes it all the more better. I think if I had to pay for it,
I would
Netflix
hate
subscription.
It.
No,
I did pay for it the first time, and that's why I probably didn't like it as much.
Yeah,
I
had, makes like, sense.
Higher expectations.
It was one of those movies, and I was a little bit disappointed in myself. And I always get disappointed in myself when this happens. I try to not listen to critics. I don't like it when critics review bomb a movie, and it's like, you know what? What you don't like what I like? I'll like make Captain up my Marvel. Own mind.
Yeah.
This one caught me though. This one was like, I'm not gonna go and see it.
Yeah, that's fair. I was the same. I heard all like the reviews and everything, and I didn't go watch it purely on that. Like, I would have watched it otherwise, but with all the reviews, and I feel like, again, looking at it a few years down the track after watching it once, I can forgive it for a lot of things, and it's enjoyable enough. It does actually feel a lot like a Mission Impossible movie, but yeah. That's kind of my thoughts, and that's where it kind of it excels, and it also is a bit of a problem for something that's meant to be starting a new monster universe.
But I do love the bit when he starts punching zombie. He punches that first zombie, and it's very like Mission Impossible. Like, yeah, this guy knows his stuff. Punches right through his face.
Oh, yeah.
Like, ah! It's like, get the hell off me.
I actually found myself laughing aloud, which would like I did not expect this time.
When, I laughed a lot in that scene.
When Jenny is punching him in the face. Or kick him in
that's
the
my face,
face.
That's my
and
face.
He's
that's
going,
my face.
That's my face. That's my face. I was like, oh, that's actually really funny.
Or when she's about to stab him and she walks into the that church thing and they all just stop and just snap their heads towards her and you're like, oh.
Yeah. And he has that whole line. He's like, Jenny, run.
Jenny,
run. Just get out of here. Kind of thing. Like, what the hell are you doing here? Man. And I thought that was like genuinely like really funny. I was surprised by that. Cause it was the second time watching it and I'd forgotten most of the movie. It's pretty forgettable, but
forgettable movie.
There's some enjoyable parts in it and there's a lot of fun to be had. But I would recommend actually watching this movie, especially for free on Netflix.
Yeah, it makes me a little bummed they didn't lean into it. Like, I mean, look at DC. DC has had subpar movie after subpar movie and they still keep going. And then Wonder Woman was great. So I'm kind of curious that why didn't they take the stuff on board for this movie, all the feedback, and just try and make the next one better.
That is a good point. Like, this is definitely better than the majority of DC films that we have.
Hell
I would
yes.
give it, I would give it this. Like, it's actually a stronger starting point than what DC had. And yep. they're still going. But again, those ones, even though they're terrible movies, they made a lot more at the box office.
And they did because they already have an existing fan base, whereas this, like, who really... I don't know many people that are like, I want to go watch the next Dracula movie. Like, I mean, it's
it's
just that's not what's really in a thing. At the moment.
At the
dawn of cinema, it was, and it's like the fan base, I guess, is dated.
And it might come back. Like, look at how hard vampires came back when Twilight was a thing, and then there's a bunch of other like spin-offs.
Yeah,
I just the flavor of the day at the moment is just superheroes, man. We just that's what we want.
Yeah, mm-hmm. exactly.
We're not. We don't want monsters just yet. It'll come around. No, we don't. It always does.
No. Yeah. Well, eventually it will.
Yeah, but, I am pretty keen to see Godzilla versus King Kong.
You know what? Like, I'm not. That's kind of in the same vein for me for these kind of things. Like, I'm not that interested in Godzilla. What it was, a King of Monsters or whatever. I'm not keen on that movie.
I didn't say I'm keen on that movie. Like, I'm just keen to see Kong and Godzilla fight.
Oh, right.
I want that. I don't want the lead up to it. Just jump to it. Seriously. Yeah.
It's a bit dumb. I
feel like Godzilla's beaten him already. Has he beaten him in something else?
No. You're not probably kill Godzilla. Japan.
I think, I think it's kind of like in the old Godzilla versus Kong, like the Japanese version where they do go up against each other. I believe it ends in a similar way of like nobody really wins. So that's kind of like the way that they'll probably end up going. It's like, oh, nobody actually won. They're just both champions.
They teamed up. Yeah, that's going to be Batman versus Superman all over again.
Yeah, yeah.
Just bigger.
Yeah, that's
exactly how it's going to go.
They built an even bigger robot that they control the hemispheres of.
Yeah.
Left hemisphere is Godzilla, right hemisphere is King Kong.
Getting back into this movie that we're talking about this week, we're going to get into some plot details. So if you're going to watch the movie, jump out now. If you're not going to watch the movie, stick around. We're going to go through it, pick it apart a little bit. We probably won't go into as much detail as what we usually do because, again, it's been out for like 2 years already. So
we already forget it.
Would have seen this. Yeah. Yeah. And literally, we watched it this week. And we forgot. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm looking at the plot points you put in the chat, Jason. I'm like, hang on a sec. What happened then? And I literally watched about an hour ago.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. So we'll sort of cover the general plot, I suppose, which is weird. So, okay, this movie starts off in the like English Iraq. Crusade.
Oh,
times.
Yeah, that's right.
No, yeah, because it starts off in the Crusade times. Okay. Yeah, exactly.
Oh, yeah.
And they bury the Egyptian ruby with the tomb of one of the Crusader knights. Mm-hmm. And I was like, okay, this is strange for one, that this starts here. But then, okay, let's just go on board with it.
Doesn't it have, what's his name, narrating it the whole time?
No, he comes into it like 5 seconds later. There's like a big mining thing that tunnels into a tomb that's underneath London now.
Oh yeah,
like modern day London. And I had to laugh because they have like a news reporter like giving all your exposition kind of thing like these movies do about what's been found with this tomb and everything. And there's this shot of the mining tool coming through a wall, but it's from with inside the tomb. So I was like, has a cameraman dug into the tomb just to get that shot before they mine?
What a scoop.
No, that was just a shot. That wasn't a news shot. That was just a shot.
Yeah, but it was from inside the tomb.
Yeah, but it wasn't like we sent our cameraman in there. That was just like a shot. No.
It was a shot. It was a shot in the movie, but then it was also in the news report. They reused the same shot. And I was like, yeah. So, like, the logistics of that just sort of...
cameras?
It kind of made me, it made me laugh because I'm just like imagining this poor cameraman that's like tunneling in ahead of the actual mining machine just to get the imagine shot, like the perfect shot.
Imagine if the mining machine had like a hydraulic failure and it's like, all right, Bill, we're going to be like 20 minutes. Hang tight, mate. And he's like, oh, we're in a room full of dead people. There like, are coffins everywhere.
Oh my gosh.
He's like, 20 minutes. That's not good for me. Could you hurry up a bit?
I need to change the battery.
Been here for like 2 weeks.
So I just turn the camera off, mate. Nah, you never know.
But yeah, so like I also don't like when movies do this, the whole exposition TV montage, like news reports. It's kind of just lazy writing.
It's a cheat, for sure.
Yeah, it is a cheat. And massive then you have cheat. Like
Are you getting into The Mummy for lazy writing? Oh. Is that really a criticism we're going for here?
If that's the case, it's going to be a long night.
It's a brilliant film, and I've got to pick away at it as much as I can, okay? Like, it's hard to find any faults. I'm just finding a little bit of problems with it. this is my only nitpick.
I'm just nitpicking now. Man.
With so, such a perfect movie. I it's hard to find anything, but this is just a little thing that I have a problem with. So I'm just,
like an Egyptian princess in Mesopotamia. It's just hard to find.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey.
Or it's actually not that hard to find anyways.
They bloody found her easily.
Yeah, they found her. So, okay, we have the little exposition from Russell Crowe who comes in.
So
and
we get two forms of opening exposition.
We do.
Yes.
Two cheats in one.
Well, the first one was like, you know, a minute. 1 minute. We buried a guy with a stone. We found the guy with the stone.
Yeah.
I don't understand why we needed the whole news report because, like, basically he tells you all this information later on in the movie. So they could have just jumped to that.
They could have just had a single line of dialogue saying it's like, oh, construction workers who were working on the new, like, London Rail found the tomb. And you're like, oh, dope.
Yeah.
And then we would have been like, oh, that was the scene at the beginning. Cool.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Even so just like what a happens, place title, London. There you go. Yeah, now we know where we are.
Convenience.
Yeah.
Oh no, they do have the London title.
Oh, they have that as well.
Yeah, they do. They do.
Great.
Because they even have like the Mesopotamia, and then they're like
Iraq.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
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 So we have have Russell Crowe telling us the whole story of how the mummy became the mummy, how Sophia Boutella. Became the mummy because she was basically meant to be the
She got stitched up.
Yeah, basically.
She was the queen, then he had a son.
Yeah.
And it's Egypt in like 0 AD. So, you know, she's done.
So, yeah, she was bloody just patriarchy. Like, yeah, okay, I'm going to kill everyone and summon a demon because that's what you do.
Look, I feel like she could have handled things better, to be honest.
I think she could have, yeah.
I feel like this was a Romeo and Juliet situation and it was just really taken to the extreme.
Was it Romeo and Juliet situation?
Oh, don't you think that Romeo and Juliet could have handled their situation a bit better as well?
Oh, yeah. I know. Like, that would have been good, like, just having a conversation with everyone.
Maybe just have a chat. Maybe just go to
Juliet,
Bali.
I'm alive. That's it.
That's it.
Well, they didn't have guns back then.
Most frustrating ending.
Oh, my gosh. So the question the question needs to be asked. Was there no other way to get a knife that you had to call upon the god of evil?
Or whatever
it is.
You know what?
Just to get a knife to stab her parents.
If you're going to go down that path, lean into it.
Yeah, I suppose she's going all out, isn't she? Yeah. She's like,
what is it? Don't
she's
half-ass fully committing two things, to it. Whole-ass one thing.
One thing,
she was whole-assing this.
Yeah.
Oh, for sure.
You're right. Yeah, she's really she's really an entrepreneur in her field of evil.
I admire the commitment.
Mm.
Well, yeah, she's definitely committed to her one cause for this whole movie. And like it's like thousands of years. It's like, okay, I'm going to summon this demon thing and it's going to give me a knife and then I'm going to go kill my brother. It's her brother, right? She kills which is like the baby. And then her dad.
Kills the parents first.
Oh, the parents
kills
first.
Kills the dad first.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, kills the dad.
Mom. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Kills the mum, kills the baby.
Yeah. She just goes on like a murder spree, basically. She's just,
yeah.
Yeah.
No, hang on. She hadn't summoned the demon yet.
No,
she
hadn't. Because
she kills them summons, with that weird sickle.
She summons the demon and then it gives her the knife and then she goes kills everyone and then she comes back to get the body for the demon to go into or whatever it is.
Yeah, that's right. Because she's all covered in tats and stuff.
Yeah, yeah. So she gets all the tattoos or whatever. Oh, no, that's first. She gets all the tattoos first. And then,
They come with the knife, don't they?
Yeah, they come with the knife. Yeah.
Two for one.
Yeah. So the full package.
Yeah.
It's a pretty good deal, to be honest.
Yeah, it really hasn't cost him much, really, at this point.
No, for sure.
I mean, what, three bodies?
Easy.
It's Aegis. They're everywhere.
So she does that, and then what happens next? She does the whole ceremony she's going to have the guy who's like, he's like a willing sacrifice, right? Like, I don't fully understand.
She's seduced him. Yeah. She's in his head.
Yeah. I mean, he looks like he's enjoying it.
Yeah,
sure.
He does. He does.
I mean, you know what? It's hard to blame.
Yeah, that's true. Fair enough. Yeah. So he's like into it. He's like, I want to die and have this demon thing possess me or whatever it is.
And listen to how she phrases it later on, though. So she's like, you know, you're not going to die. You're going to become a god.
Yes.
And like,
she does.
Serving peasant in Egypt is like, hell yes.
Oh, wow.
That whole thing later on, we'll get into that when we get to the end, but
I'm just saying.
Yeah.
That's probably what she said.
See, that doesn't come in the very first bit of the movie. Like, that comes at the end because it just, yeah. Anyways, that's one of my biggest gripes for this movie, but we'll get to that. So,
I totally just realized, because I knew that Sophia Boutella was in
Star Trek.
Kingsman.
Kick-Ass.
That's the one.
Yeah.
Not Kick-Ass, the other one.
Kingsman. Yeah.
Yeah, I forgot she was in Star Trek Beyond as well.
Yes, she is. Yeah.
Also made up like crazy. Man.
Yeah.
She's a good character actor.
Yeah, she does well.
She is.
Sure.
She's like Zoe Saldana.
Saldana?
I don't know. Sure, she's from Avatar.
She's like Zoe, for sure. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, Avatar chick, Gamora.
That she likes to dress up.
Yeah,
for sure. Movie.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. I don't know. I think it's fine. Like, you've never done something for, you know, a girl you've had the hots for? Going to a farmer's market.
Yeah, that's pretty much the same thing, right?
Yeah,
that's
I'm into all the things that you're into.
You're into human sacrifice. Yeah, I'll be a human sacrifice. Stab me.
I do it to myself all the time. You'll love it.
I also think that we should go out.
Oh, you don't?
Oh, no, you don't want to? Yeah, no, neither.
Yeah,
no.
Yeah,
no.
Yeah, if you,
oh, no, I'm only into, like, black guys. Oh, yeah, me too.
You too.
Oh, I'm only into dead guys. Oh, okay, I'll be a dead guy for you.
Cool, me too.
Seems a bit extreme, but okay. So she's like telling him how much she's into dead guys, and he's like, yeah, I'm into it. And then they get stopped by some good Samaritans. Guards. I don't know where these guys. Yeah,
it's the guards. The temple guards. They blow data in the neck.
Right. Yeah. Okay. But she'd be like, technically, she's like Pharaoh at this point, right? Because
but she also just slaughtered Pharaoh, Mrs. Pharaoh, and baby Pharaoh.
But does that count? Does that matter at those times?
Hell yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Fair enough.
You kill a king, they're going to blow dart you in the neck.
Guards still have ethics, man.
Yeah.
Like, they can make up their own decisions, you know?
They're not slaves or anything.
They're not just robots. They're not slaves, exactly.
Fair enough.
So they blow dart her in the neck.
Yes. And then they
tie her down, they pin her down, they take a knife off her.
Alive.
So we're dwindling. It's been like so many minutes. Let's get through this.
So they mummify her alive, and then we skipped to modern day Iraq. Where she is there, and we have Tom Cruise introduction, and he's what do you call it? He's like a lone ranger of some sort. I don't know. He's
a recon scout.
Yeah, recon scout.
Renegade.
Okay. Yeah.
Army dude.
Yeah.
That he's a recon scout.
Yeah.
That doesn't have
a recon scout. Maybe
a platoon.
I enjoyed this bit.
Do you think it's
with the whole this bit like, felt card and everything?
This bit felt a lot like, have you ever seen the Matthew McConaughey movie Sahara?
Yes, it did.
This felt a very Sahara.
I did definitely get those vibes.
Which I like that movie. Great movie.
Or have you guys played Uncharted?
Yes.
No. It had a bit of Uncharted kind of feeling
that
to it.
That banter back and forth kind of thing. Yes, it definitely did have that.
The Tomb Raider.
So he is there and they are looking for some sort of tomb or whatever that has heaps of gold. And they believe it's.
Well, they have a whole scene where it's like this scene. You know, this like this tomb has this word, which is treasure, and they're like, no, that word's forbidden knowledge. And it's like, yeah, but that means treasure in Egypt.
Yes. And then so what happens is they order in like an airstrike. In this area when they're bunkered down, and that blows a hole in the top of the tomb. And yeah, like, okay. And that reveals
that did happen.
Yeah, yeah. They have an ordered
after they go in.
Yeah, after they go in.
They try to go in first.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, yeah, we'll just be in and out so quick, like we always do. And then the cuts to them.
Gunfire eruption. Like, I like that cut. I thought it was funny.
Yeah. And then they have the whole airstrike that kills everyone.
Airstrike.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
It lands perfectly in the top of the entrance of the tomb.
Without damaging too much
American
of the tomb.
American precision right there.
It's perfect, yeah.
And then followed by such a great introduction decision. The best way to introduce your female lead is to not introduce your female lead and have like the whole meeting introduction thing off screen.
Yep.
So, that was cool interesting.
I found this whole, like, just jumping back a little bit, I feel like this is a little bit Team America in the way of, like, them just blowing up, like, landmarks kind of thing. Like, you know, like, it's like this so-called, priceless landmark. And he's like, yeah, just order in an airstrike on top of it kind of thing.
Okay.
that's how we come into places. But,
we blow stuff up.
So they've met off screen and he's, like, they're romantically involved. Although it's sort of, he's kind of just left or like
used her. Yeah, one night
standard her. And she's pretty angry about that, which is understandable. And then what happens next, Paul?
So what happens next is the general, he tries to talk his way out of what the hell they're doing to the admiral or the general or whatever. And he's like, no, you're full of crap. You're a treasure hunter. Go in the hole.
Yes.
Because you're a treasure hunter. So why not go in there? So he goes in the hole with, the chick from Peaky Blinders. And once they get down there, they kind of start looting and they see a pool with a bunch of statues looking at the pool.
Is Peaky Blinders bad? Good.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah, I've never actually.
Yeah, it makes you want to talk real Cockney.
Yeah, okay.
Makes you want to talk like this, eh?
So, Mr.
The one with
Mr. Hyde could fit into it.
Cillian Murphy, isn't it?
Yeah. Huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
Anyway,
So they're there's something underwater. They don't know what it is. It's being held down. They're all like, "You don't want it's mercury." Whatever the hell is in here to get out. So Tom Cruise does a logical thing and lets it out.
He shoots
the weights that are holding it down. Mm-hmm. The guy on the radio is like, we've got bad guys coming in. We need to get out of here in 60 seconds. And they're like, all right, cool. 60 seconds is a reasonable time for you to bring this massive sarcophagus out of the hole.
Oh, yeah. It's very, very easy to remove something that. Like,
for sure.
Most forward operating units do carry a giant crane with them.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Standard procedure.
Paul, I don't know whether you're being sarcastic right now, but there is no faults in this movie. You know that, right?
Zero so far.
Yeah. Nothing.
We're running clean. Nothing,
yeah. Everything's perfect, right? Yeah. Good. Good. I don't.
So anyway.
I hate to think that you're trying to pick apart this movie. Like, don't nitpick.
No. Not the mummy. No, goodness no.
Clearly they could have got that out really quickly. 60 seconds, and they'd have like 30 seconds spare.
I mean, they've got terrorists coming into the village, don't worry about it,
exactly.
Man.
Exactly.
I'm pretty sure if I remember it, it was less than 60 seconds.
I think so. I think
That's how good
it
they
was a jump cut. It got out in a jump cut.
Similar to how perfect this movie is, this extraction mission could not have gone better.
I know. I definitely think
sarcophagus is out. Yep. Sarcophagus is out.
It's out.
And they're running back to the plane. There's some bad stuff happening. There's birds everywhere. Mm-hmm. There's a sandstorm coming. And most people just be like, you know what? This is a bad day in Egypt. Let's just get the heck out of here. They get to the plane, strap it in the plane. Like, we
in
need
Iraq,
boots and suits.
They're still in Iraq, right? Not Egypt. Right.
They are in Iraq. Yeah, sorry. Yeah. I was Egypt.
Yeah, yeah. There's like, I can understand that.
Kick it and stick it. Let's get out of here now. And they do.
Yeah.
I must say, though, I do like the effect of the plane flying through the sand. I thought that looked really good.
Yeah, I thought it looked really good, too.
With that little turbulence. It was like, good guys.
I thought most of the effects are actually pretty good in this, but no.
Look, there might have a small nitpick coming up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You'll have to see.
Yeah.
When we get to London.
Yeah.
Anyway. No, not there yet. In a second. Give it about 20 minutes. They're in the plane. Bad stuff happens in the plane. Tom Cruise's friend becomes a zombie, stabs some people.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
He goes down.
That's right, because he got bit earlier on, but that's not... It's kind of like it's like the anti-Spider-Man he becomes.
Man-Spider.
Man-Spider.
Ant-Man, right?
Yeah.
Because it was a giant ant.
Yeah, that's right.
He just becomes a dead guy.
Yeah. How bummed out would you be if you get bit by that instead of like the radioactive spider from Spider-Man? You get bit by the one that kills you and makes you into like a mummy kind of thing.
What powers have I got? Well, you're extremely fragile and fond of sand.
You enjoy stabbing people.
Yeah.
But they have to they not see you coming. Yeah,
sometimes you just go into a complete rage and blank out. You probably won't remember stabbing all your friends and family. Enjoy. Yeah. It's a superpower.
But at least you'll be able to talk to Tom Cruise whenever you want.
Well, anyway.
That would be good.
So whilst they're in this plane and there's a dead guy and they shoot him, blah, blah, blah. The plane starts getting kamikaze bombed by crows.
Yeah.
And with it being a military aircraft that can handle small explosions and anti-aircraft bullets, it's no match for a flock of crows. Yeah. And good Lord, does this plane get taken down
hard. I feel like you're nitpicking at this movie a little bit. This is like, man, oh, seriously, come on. Those crows are made of metal, I'm sure.
This is a legitimate thing.
No, like, here's what it is.
Yeah.
Crows are heavier than bullets. Crows are heavier. Yeah,
exactly.
When there's a heavy bird day, like you can't fly.
And you did you know that crows fly quicker than bullets? Yeah, that's how fast they fly.
Well, they might not fly quicker than bullets,
for sure,
but they carry more inertia.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what a plane's weakness is. Even though they start losing engines because the birds fly into the engines and the engines are actually giant propellers and I don't know how a bird corpse would get through that, that's fine. Yeah. It might. Yeah,
it does.
There's plenty of them. Yeah. It does. There's bloody heaps of them.
Look, again, nitpicking. Enough.
They're picking. Sorry. My apologies. Anyway, plane's going down. It starts ripping in half. It's going down in England somewhere. And so a giant hole gets ripped in the side. The blonde chick, what's her name? Jenny?
Jenny, yes. Jenny.
Jenny.
Jenny. Jenny.
Jenny.
It's not the way he says it. Anyway, oh, no. We'll get to that. Well, Jenny!
I actually really enjoyed this sequence. Like, I know we're, like, picking it apart.
It was
but
cool.
I actually thought it was really cool. And they shot, we're not picking it apart.
Were they on the Vomit Comet?
I think so, yeah, they did. They filmed it, for real, which is pretty amazing.
Are you going to bring up the IMAX trailer?
No.
So
the one with the audio was all out and it just had Tom Cruise going, that's all you heard.
That trailer wrecked this scene for me because I was watching it. I was like, that's all I could think of. Have you seen that, Paul?
So what happened is like someone in the audio mix, they accidentally like left out all the sound effects and it's just got Tom Cruise going like that. That's like all it is.
It legitimately aired at IMAX theaters.
Yeah.
Without sound effects.
It went online. So it was like on YouTube.
Yeah.
Like with him just doing that, like that moment. But, But they did actually film that in the Vomit Comet thing, whatever it's called, the zero gravity plane. Which is awesome. Huh. Like, and I think that would have been like maybe Christopher McQuarrie's contribution to this movie, I feel like. At least that scene, because he was sort of. He came in later on and rewrote a lot of things for Tom Cruise, I believe, which is a lot of the issues that I think the studio and a lot of people sort of saw with this is that Tom Cruise had too much to do with the movie. That was like sort of what people said after it failed, which is pretty easy to point the finger at someone after it's all over. But yeah, I like this sequence.
I mean, Tom Cruise is known for taking over projects as well, so that kind of excuse does fly.
There is a bit in this sequence that does bother me, though. It's a great scene until this one part where it's probably my only gripe with this movie. It's where he pulls the eject cord on Jenny! And she chuffs off.
Jenny.
And he's like pinned up against the side of the plane.
Yeah. Oh.
With a cool angle where you can see him and you can see the ground coming and you're like, yeah, holy crap, this is really gnarly. But then it cuts to a close-up and the angle of descent is completely different.
Off. Because the plane should be like falling sideways down, right? Like it should be. basically, yeah. Just,
it looks like the plane's going down tail first, and you see that, and then it zooms in on Tom Cruise's face, and it's going inside first.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, wow. Yeah. You didn't, did you?
So the issue I saw with this was when he's hanging on.
I didn't say issue.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So, no, yeah, because there are no issues.
There's no issues. It's a perfect movie.
No, no, no. The interesting,
that's right.
Interesting thing about this scene that I found, I was like, wow. Better. Because he's hanging on and like then hanging on to Jonah with his other with his other hand. And then like he's hanging onto the plane with this hand. And then somehow he's got to like undo the parachute for Jonah. Yep. So there is a second there where he's not hanging on to anything.
Nope.
But her.
Yeah.
So it's like, just, yeah, I was like, wow, okay. So this he can somehow not... He would have been sucked out of the plane.
But he's flying.
Right?
He's flying.
Oh.
You forgot that he's actually a superhero in this movie.
Oh, see.
Yeah,
see. That makes sense.
Stop nitpicking. There's no faults with this movie.
Everything can be
Everything
explained.
Can be explained. Everything can be explained.
Oh, this is going to be very interesting coming up later on.
Oh, yeah, yeah, completely. All the whole sound effects, like less trailer, reminds me of the Star Wars without John Williams.
Oh. Yeah,
John Williams. Yeah. Oh, yes. I love that version where it's got like Chewbacca just going like that, and then you've just slowly walking down the corridor, like all the people lined up, and you can hear like the little. like slowly walk down, and then you've got like R2-D2 comes out, and it's like so good.
And there's one guy who's like,
there's the you guys seen the David Bowie?
Yes, dancing in the street,
In the street,
yes. Yeah. Jagger. Oh, so that is so good.
So it's like, if this was intentional, it would have been hilarious.
So if you're listening to this podcast and you have no idea what we're talking about, look up the Star Wars without John Williams on YouTube. It's someone's just re-edited it just with sound effects. So without music, it's actually hilarious. And also there is, what is it? Dancing in the Street with Mick Jagger.
Dancing in the Street.
And David Bowie. Yep. Without
and for reference,
music is it? Is that what it is? Yeah,
yeah. So, without music, and then there's this one, the Mummy trailer.
Yeah,
which was the accidental.
Yeah, the Mummy trailer was actually just an accident. Someone's just
that's someone's so fired from
completely.
That.
For someone has to have been fired for that.
That's like a media offline to the nth degree.
Yeah, they've completely just exported without half the stuff attached. So yeah.
Best the end of this comes trailer. In and he sees that the track's mood, and he's like, "Jenny,
what?
Jenny!"
The best bit in this trailer I'm watching is just like, it's when Jenny gets pulled out of the plane. It's like,
but it's like echo. It's like,
that's almost the laugh.
Anyway,
but yeah. So they have the car crash. The plane crash.
Big car in the sky crashes. What happens next?
Yeah. Then they're separated from the mummy, who's in like a church or something, or near a church. Or no, she ends up at
the
a church later on.
The sarcophagus landed a little bit from the church, from the crash site.
Yes, that's right.
But before we get to that, don't we jump cut to...
He's in a morgue and he...
Hospital, to a morgue.
Yeah, he comes back to life.
Wakes up.
He's cursed because for some reason the mummy finds him as the perfect host, which
he is Tom Cruise.
I know he's Tom Cruise, but
come on.
He's like a 50-year-old guy. Like, surely...
We're looking good.
There is a lot of people on the
50.
Yeah, he is looking good. Like, admittedly, he is looking good for his age.
He's very rich.
But surely
he's rich.
He's very rich.
Ripped?
Did you say
worth
ripped?
Millions?
Yeah, but
he's
not
rich.
Like, not in this. He's not. In the movie world, he's not rich. So, like, he just doesn't, he doesn't...
I thought we were just talking about him in general.
No.
But, okay.
But I think like, there's got to be better options out there, like, for the mummy to actually find some, like, the perfect host. I just can't see him being the perfect host. Like, surely it would have been someone younger or something like that.
Maybe Russell it's more Crow. Of a proximity thing. Maybe it's like, yes. Well, he's the guy who let me out, so he's kind of cool. Russell Crowe.
Yes, who is actually Lord. Younger. And they have that line later on as like, you're a younger man.
Young man.
I'm like, no. Like,
you're a younger man.
You're a younger man. But he's like 2 years.
Don't go let me out.
Yeah. Oh, like, man. He's 2 years older than him in real life.
That's I'm actually
like,
hilarious.
Yeah, but Russell Crowe hasn't looked after him.
That's true. Yeah, that's fair.
South Sydney's had a rough couple of years. It shows.
Oh my gosh.
But yeah,
he loves pies. Actually,
takes me back to the one of like so my first like the first thing I remember about watching this movie was all the way back at the start when the opening credits start.
Yeah.
And then like the Universal logo then turns swings around and becomes the Dark Universe logo. And I'm just like looking at it, they go
yeah.
No.
Yeah, you're like, no. Dead universe.
Spend all that money like, on that logo.
Dark is in shell.
That's true. Yeah. It's like, nah.
The shell universe. Yeah.
But
but at least, even though, like, I feel like one of the, not saying it, okay, I was going to say, like, a drawback, but, like, interesting things about this movie is that there's too much. There's too much packed into this movie.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I'm happy that we got to see a bit of what Dr. Jekyll looked like.
Yeah.
And it's like Russell Crowe looked like as Mr. Hyde. I thought that was cool.
I feel like they were just too rushed. Sort of held back on what he looked like because I think they were like, oh, I don't know exactly what he's going to turn into. So they've
for
sort
sure.
of not showing the full Mr. Hyde. So like
they could have cut that entire scene.
Oh, yeah. It makes no difference.
That should not need to be in it whatsoever.
No. Not at all.
Obviously,
but then again,
the
movie's only an hour 40, so they kind of need to pad it.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they were trying to set things up for future movies.
Yes.
Like, most likely we were going to get a Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde movie.
We were, yeah.
Well, do you know that he was the fourth option? Russell Crowe was the fourth option chosen for that role. They asked Javier Bardem, Joseph Gordon-Levitt, Tom Hardy, and Eddie Redmayne. Yeah. And then they held on
Javier
to Bardem.
Yeah, Bardem was going to be Frankenstein's monster. He was planned for the sequels, but then Johnny Depp was also going to be the Invisible Man in the whole thing.
There was
Bride of Frankenstein that was originally slated for February 14th of this year. So that didn't happen.
I can't wait to see that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's really good.
And, well, that's already passed. So it was a great movie that we watched.
For sure. Who did we have a casting for that?
No, there wasn't a casting for that announced. I think they scrapped it before they even got to that point. But there was also going to be like the Wolfman, the Creature of the Black Lagoon, the Phantom of the Opera, the Hunchback of Notre Dame. And
wait, what?
Yeah. Yeah, because like originally, like it was a much darker version as well. So like, yeah, before Disney picked it up, the story.
Fair enough.
And then there was going to be the solo Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde movie as well. But that was going to be end of Van Helsing and Dracula movie in there as well. So that was going to be the whole monster universe or dark universe as it was taught. Like was titled, but yeah, it's been completely scrapped. Anyway, so we have Tom Cruise wakes up in a morgue and he's cursed now with being the chosen one to become the host for the demon, whatever it is. And so
Set.
Yeah, that's right. Set. And so
God of Death,
we have the moment where the sarcophagus, is that how you say it?
Sarcophagus.
Correct. Where that is.
You got one, right?
Yeah, cool.
Chaos.
5 stars for me. there's that in like this thing near church, and we have this sort of super creepy sequence where two police officers are gone through the plane wreck and they find it.
They were ambulance.
Oh no, they were ambulance officers, and then she like make out kills them. And it's super gross.
Death by Snoo Snoo.
And this is where I was kind of like, I kind of miss the Brendan Fraser version of this because I was like, I really liked that whole setup in the Brendan Fraser version where they had like the four people that opened up the tomb were actually then cursed with bringing him back to his full self. You know how like they he had to go kill all four of them to regain his full power?
Yeah.
I loved that whole setup and I missed that in this because there was no sort of sense of like I get she was regaining her strength and all that. But there was no sense of how many people she had to kill to regain her strength and all that kind of stuff. And then also like the people she does kill kind of become like love struck or something can become her slave afterward, like zombies, slaves afterwards. Or zombie slaves. So I found it kind of interesting that she kind of, she's like a, got a love potion on everyone that comes across her that's cursed in some way. Like Tom Cruise falls in love with her and has this whole thing where he's sort of in love with Jenny and then also in love with her.
Jenny!
And we have this beautiful moment.
I may not be a smart man.
Tom Cruise leads them there and he's about to die. He gets like captured by all the zombies and Jenny comes in and Jenny. In the middle of the process of him being almost sacrificed and he's like, run, Jenny, kind of thing.
Run, Jenny.
Yeah,
it's one of those moments where like Tom Cruise looks up and it's like, he's like, it's not what you think.
It's actually like, I thought it was really funny and this whole sequence where they have the whole chase and everything. I thought that was done really well. I actually really enjoyed the first an hour of this movie. Like I thought it was pretty good, but then we have, we have Dr. What's his name? Dr. Jekyll.
Jekyll.
Comes in with his minions come in out of nowhere. They know where they all are. And they I've got this written down. I'm like, did they tranquilize the mummy? Like,
no, they just kept her. Oh, yeah, they
do. They tranquilize her. And they tranquilize her.
Unless they shot her with maybe more mercury, like mercury filled
that would make sense. That would make sense.
And harpooned the living hell out of them.
Yes, they did that too.
But surely, did they know that that would work? Like, how would they know about the mercury?
I would say someone who has devoted his life to studying monsters, they even say at the very beginning when mercury is dripping from the ceiling that Egyptians thought mercury would ward off evil spirits.
Right, okay.
Oh, so they must know also, that
like, mercury is a thing.
There's validity here.
Yeah.
It is kind of like established that she's in communication with Jekyll as well.
You find that
so
out
she could
later
have mentioned
on.
That. It's like, oh, by the way, mercury. We'll use mercury on it on this mummy. Seems to work. But yeah, and we also get introduced to the MacGuffin of the movie, which I think is actually, which is the jewel. We realize that.
Yes, that's right.
The thing we saw at the start.
We're like, okay, she needed the jewel the whole time that's in the tomb. And that's where she's actually headed now to get that jewel and to kill. Because that's right. Because that's what stops her from actually killing Tom Cruise in that first place, because the jewel is not in there. It's been buried somewhere else because the knights of the round table or whatever, or the crusading knights, had the four
to the
side.
Round table.
That's what I'm like. Citroen. Yeah. So they hid the jewel. So
I like to push the pram along. I'm sorry. Okay, I'm sorry.
I
want
to go to Camelot. It's a silly place.
Stupid.
So then what happens next?
Can then please review Dean, that instead?
Actually, what happens? Okay. They've got the mummy.
So they get to Camelot and
which
they,
is
no, okay.
Dr. Jekyll's hideout.
Yes, they well and truly able. Spam and ham a lot.
Likes to push the pram a lot.
Actually, you know what? Camelot's rather silly place, isn't it?
Quite a silly place.
Oh my gosh.
Man.
So good.
How good is that movie?
That is what, I feel like, man, this should have been more lighthearted.
Yeah, it should have been more like Monty Python's Holy Grail.
More Monty Python. At least Brendan Fraser style camp. Oh, that would have been great.
Yeah. That's such a better movie.
Anyway.
But yeah.
Oh yeah. It's just more fun.
Oh yeah.
But what happens next? Okay, so we get more exposition.
Yes.
As Dr. Jekyll explains.
I think I wrote down in my notes. This is the moment in the movie where it stops for exposition to occur. Like, it's just the whole thing puts it's the brakes on and it's like, hey, do you want to catch up on what we're actually talking about here kind of thing? Mm-hmm. And then
even though we're told you.
Yeah.
It's not a problem. It's necessary. Jason.
Oh, it's not. We're not nitpicking. Anyone listening, we're not nitpicking.
Yeah.
This is definitely, definitely necessary. Definitely not.
It's the only way to share information with an audience
For sure.
A visual medium is to stop and speak to each other.
Yeah, of course.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Anyway, so
moving on.
Now that we got that. Okay, so basically we get backstory about who this person is and, you know, what they're after. And like, I feel like we have been told most of what Russell Crowe is saying at the moment.
Yeah.
About the dagger, about her plans and yada, yada, yada.
And how he's going to become the host of set. Mm-hmm. And yeah, like
everything that, we know,
we already know that.
Mm.
And if becomes the host of set, it's going to bring like evil onto Earth and destroy everything, right? Like that's the whole.
Mm, totally didn't know that one either.
Yeah.
Okay. So basically, we also find out a bit about Jekyll's condition.
Yeah.
That he's got the Mr. Hyde issue.
Yeah.
You kind of get like brief tidbits.
I do wonder if it like really hurt Russell Crowe's ego when he had to say the "you're a younger man than I" or whatever to Tom Cruise. I'm like, that must have hurt like for you to say.
I wonder. Yeah.
Yeah.
It definitely stuck out when he said that. Maybe they're just talking about
cardiovascularly.
Yeah. It's
young man. I'm 50.
Like,
wait, what? No, shut up.
That's okay. My shut doctor up. Said I've got the lungs of a 67-year-old. You're a younger man then.
How?
I
do.
It's his body age based on mean? Like, it's, yeah, it's not his actual age.
That's
it's his body age.
Young body. Listen here.
Yeah. Now listen here, yo.
You listen here, Mr. Healthy Organs.
Yeah. let me sing to
that's
you,
the other
okay?
thing. It's like,
are you a donor?
Russell Crowe has to not only do one fake English accent in this movie, but
he's
he has
got
to do
two.
He's got his mouth cut out.
Okay.
The Hyde one was fun.
Yeah.
That was fun.
The Hyde one was great.
The Hyde one, he slipped in and out.
I
want to
make a deal with you.
Because even in that line when he's like, you're a younger man, then like he sort of says younger man in the normal British accent. And then he goes into the real Cockney sort of thing, best you learn or whatever. Like, I can't even do it. Like, it's like,
what are you doing?
What are you doing, mate?
Kind of you thing. You think of like, try and do it's like, do you ever watch Mighty Boosh?
No.
Yes.
There's a character in Mighty Boosh called the Cockney Bastard.
Yeah.
And he's like, it's all squirming around inside you like little black wangers.
That's
the Hitcher or something, right?
That's pretty much it.
Perfect. That's how I learned how to speak Cockney.
I wish he had done brilliant. Like the opening title card in like, and actually read it like, death is barred. Doorway to new
I've
life.
I've got to tell you about what's going on here. Them bloody so fairies mum has a son. And she's like, I'm having none of it.
Yeah, that is so good.
Took him out right across the throat.
Oh, I got him good.
So she stabs him right in the throat. Right up in the jacksie.
It's like the episode of IT Crowd where they're taught how to speak men. It's like, oh, we're learning how to speak like a man.
Did you see that ludicrous display last night?
Yeah. That's right. Watching all that sport. So like he has right. that moment.
At least he wasn't singing.
That's true. He could have been singing in a Cockney accent. Mm. That would have been interesting. maybe he was singing. We just didn't realize it. we have all this exposition, and then suddenly she
breaks out.
Yeah, she breaks out by using one of her like bugs to possess another guy that then switches off the mercury that's been pumped into her. And then we have this is what I call it, the mandatory Tom Cruise running sequence. Because it's like just
statistically perfect. Movies make more money the more he runs.
The more he runs, yes, that's true.
If he runs a good distance, that's why Fallout did so good, because he had to run a lot.
I wonder if that's like a treadmill for the money that just flows in sort of thing. Like you're just sort of like,
oh man.
He's like keeping
we
the lights
on. We should
do
that. We should do like an animation where we have like him just running and every step he takes. Yeah. Like we counter like the amount of money that he's making.
Like, there's like $20 of notes coming out of his pockets, like by every step, like they just jiggle out kind of thing.
Yes, sure. Heaps maybe of coins. That's like he gets paid.
Maybe
he gets paid per step. Like, per step.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He's got a Fitbit, on, and at the end of the day, he like he goes, "Yeah, okay, you owe me like $3,000 today."
Yeah,
for that's how many steps I took.
$1,000.
Here's something funny. Just did a quick Google. Yep. Slashfilm.com did an article. The more Tom Cruise runs, the better his movies do, according to science. So here we go. Let me run you down some real quick facts.
I feel like they're using
facts,
the science a little bit too loosely in this.
No. Listen to this. You'll like this.
I'm sure statistics have actually
been
done.
They haven't factored fallout into the results, right?
Yep.
So here are the 10 movies in which Cruise runs the most, according to Rotten Tomatoes. Mission Impossible 3, he runs like 3,000 and...
Yes,
3,000
massive
feet.
Tracking shot.
Mm-hmm. Ghost Protocol, another 3,000. War of the Worlds, 1,700 feet. It keeps, excuse me, it keeps going.
Yeah.
His top three grossing movies with the most running and box office success include Mission Impossible 3, Ghost Protocol, and War of the Worlds.
Yes.
All because he ran a bunch.
Yeah.
Because it's like, War of the Worlds is like the one shot of him just running for 5 minutes.
There's a That's video, brilliant. And I'm going to link this video in the Facebook page, facebook.com/knowsbeforebirds, after we release this podcast, and it's every Tom Cruise run ever.
It sort of gradually gets faster, I notice, so like as the years go on, it's like each running sequence gets like, he's getting faster and faster.
Sure.
I watched, I like that movie, that edit actually goes for like 20 minutes or something like that. And it just goes through the years and it's so fascinating to watch. And I found myself,
How he runs. I run like Tom Cruise now. I probably from watching Tom Cruise running.
I love how it has how the shot to run. Ghost Protocol. You know the one where he runs out of the Burj Khalifa in Ghost Protocol?
Yep.
And then there's the sandstorm behind him.
That's basically the same shot in this, because the whole London, like, sort of sandstorm, whatever it is, glass storm, I don't
know. Maybe they use the same road.
Yeah. But it's like in this, they've got, like, all the glass exploding. And is that what's making up the face? Because surely Tom Cruise is just, like, cut to shreds by the end of this, right?
Because it goes into like tiny, tiny powders. Like, what do you think? What do you think glass is made of, Jason?
It's made
sand.
Of.
Yeah, you're sand. Right. Sorry, I'm gonna. I was nitpicking. Sorry.
So there's nothing wrong with this movie.
Nothing wrong
Jason.
With this movie. Nothing wrong
it's
with this
made
movie.
Just hating for the sake of it.
I know. I'm sorry. Look.
Right here.
I will. Anyway, so
One element of the Brendan Fraser movies that I didn't expect to see coming back.
Yeah.
The sand cloud mouth face.
Yeah.
For sure.
And
anyway.
So that
happened.
It made me miss that movie a little bit. Such a good movie.
Same.
But anyways.
I agree.
So what happens next, Dean? Where are we at in this movie?
All right, freak, I figured. Oh, yeah, no, that's right. They go into the sewers for some reason, right?
Yeah, after because he realizes that she's going to go for the dagger, the gem dagger thing. So he's like, I'm going to go
stop her.
So
they
got
to do that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Almost gets hit by a bus. That's interesting. He's getting led by a zombie thing to this place.
Yep.
And basically, while that's happening, Sophia is killing everyone. Just getting, you know, showing off her powers, and they get to the tomb. She has killed everyone her zombies have killed everyone.
Yeah.
And she just picks up the diamond and then it's like, there you go. Pretty sure everyone knows what's happening, going to happen next.
And you know what? In this moment, she's got like all the zombie army or whatever. And then she like goes, okay, they're going to just turn to dust now.
She doesn't need
what
them.
The hell?
That was
a stupid move.
Yeah. Surely they could come in handy at some point. Like you haven't actually finished your whole sacrificial ceremony or whatever it is.
Yeah,
true.
And you could probably use an army to just help out. Like
actually,
just
they could have held him down again.
Yeah,
they could have.
Or anything.
Until like literally 2 seconds later when he's trying to run away.
Yeah,
like actually, no. Sorry. It's a creative decision.
Oh,
like
she wanted
to be independent.
Yeah.
It was justified. No problems with this
movie. That's exactly. Yeah, you're right. No, no nitpicking. So anyway, so then what happens is he basically, Like, Jenny first dies. She drowns.
Jenny!
Yeah, Jenny.
She dead.
Jenny.
She drowns. And it's, oh, yeah, okay, AIDS, she's dead. That's sad. And then
he's angry.
He's like, okay, I'm going to try and get away or whatever. And they have, like, a little fight. He steals the dagger off her that now has the gem in it. And he goes to smash the gem. And as it cracks, she says, you will be a living god. You will have power over death. And he, like, looks at Jenny and he's like, oh, okay. And he's like, that doesn't sound too bad. So he kills himself.
Yep.
What?
He doesn't kill himself. He allows the transition to happen.
Yeah, no, but that's the thing. So let me get this straight. His plan is to do exactly what the mummy wants, but somehow he controls the thing through, like, the power of love or something.
The weird thing about this scene is that he does what she wants, but then she's not happy about it.
Yeah, exactly.
I think it's because she's meant to do it, whereas because he does it out of free will, maybe that means he can fight it.
I don't want to.
Where was that exposition?
Yeah. I don't want to nitpick, but.
It bloody sounds like you are champion.
I feel like this is the stupidest thing in this movie because there's no setup for it. They have that moment of like, there's like a quick flash to, I feel like someone in the edit room's like, hey, I don't think anyone's going to get this. So let's like just put in like, you know how Russell Crowe said something about a sacrifice earlier on? Like you can be the sacrifice that saves the world.
Back in.
Let's just chuck that in like it was meaningful and it means something and people will think that it's meaningful. There we go. And then
the other weird thing about the scene is that he has been established to be a massive dirtbag this whole movie, the whole one night stand, even driving off without her at one point.
That's
and
right.
And then somehow after becoming the god of death or evil or whatever,
he becomes a good guy.
He's so cool. He's god so of chaos. Nice.
Yeah. Yeah.
Such a good guy.
Chaos can
god
be good.
Chaos.
You
god
can
of
have
chaos.
Good chaos.
Is Set the god, chaos. A, god of chaos?
Chaotic neutral. Set is the god of chaos.
Yeah, okay, fair enough.
I just
is basically
god of
like Loki.
That's that's okay. Bra.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I
Loki is just like god of being a dick.
I am.
Basically.
I get what they're trying to say here. Like they're trying to say that he's learnt to be a good person and he wasn't a because beforehand he was a completely selfish person.
He was selfish. He wasn't
which
a selfless
made
person.
Him yeah, which made him the perfect candidate to become the embodiment of Set sort of thing. So I get that, but it's just not done very well. It's not done in a way that sets it up very well at all. But then
because there was even even the moments where you think that he's a what was that?
Jason just dropping puns over
Just putting puns brilliant. Out there. Yeah.
Dropping puns like he's dismissing a horde of the undead.
No.
I was going to say, there's even the moments of foreshadowing the hero change kind of thing were completely diminished. Like there's that whole line is like, oh, you gave me the only parachute in the plane. And it's like, I thought there was another one.
Yeah. I thought that was pretty funny. But then once
but he... But it kind of like, it does, it goes against the character arc that they're trying to establish.
Yeah.
So I think it really worked.
I do wonder whether they were going to keep him as a villain maybe for the sequels or something. Like bring him back, but bring him back more as a villain than a hero because... It kind of might make sense if Set begins to take over him and he does become like the ultimate mummy.
Yeah.
And if they did go into the sequel franchise that they were going to do, he'd become like the Voldemort of the franchise. So I thought that kind of could have been cool if they went down that path, but we'll never know now.
Yeah.
But yeah.
No.
Yeah.
We won't.
Yeah. So then once he gets the powers of Set because now he can control it, because movie stupid.
Whoa, hey. I feel like you're having a bit of a time change.
You're right, Jason. I'm sorry. I don't want to nitpick. I'm this brilliant.
Have you been possessed?
This brilliant
that
masterpiece.
That sounded pretty chaotic. You have four pupils.
Honestly, Jason.
But I can control them
now. Have you been possessed before?
Can you?
Do you know what it's like?
I don't. I don't know. I like just, you know what? I'm just lashing out now. I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's okay. We'll forgive you.
I can't. Don't I talk can't about like things accept the perfection Jason. This movie is, and I just have to pick at it, like just like a little bit. Anyways,
it so, just makes me feel so, you know, insecure. It does. It does. I've got to bring it down.
If a movie can be this great, mm. how can
Why
I?
Have to be so
how can
mere
mortals compete with this?
Yes,
they don't. They have to somehow become a mummy.
Yeah, exactly. And I feel just inadequate. You're right. You got me there. Mm. So right, then he like he he gets the power of Set, and then he like make out kills the mummy. So he like turns the tables, and
yep,
she
love it.
Dies, and then they just like they go yep. and they put her in magnesium, and I didn't really get
magnesium. Be a whole different effect.
Yeah. I didn't get this whole mercury thing. I was like, wouldn't you just like destroy the body? Like, just
how can you?
Yeah, okay, yeah, that's fair. Yeah. I
mean, she made people out of sand.
That's true. Mm. She did.
That's true.
But yeah,
so and then picking, man.
Yeah, so then we have like the end with the stupid montage, and we have Russell Crowe's voiceover,
again, buddy.
Where he's like, "Sometimes it takes a monster to fight a monster."
It takes a monster to fight a bloody
monster. Oh, so dumb.
Oh, God, what was Wenger thinking, sinking Walker on that early? He put a pony on Arsenal.
It's so dumb. It's
What are you doing?
I honestly
there's nothing out there.
Think with a better ending, this movie could have been decent, but that
they were totally going for the whole Nick Fury wrap up in Avengers.
Yeah.
Like that is exactly what this scene is.
Oh yeah.
It's like, he'll be out there when we need him.
Yeah. Where we need him, we'll call for him and when he'll come. Need him. He'll come running. And I'm just like I just hate the fact that this movie creates like the movie logic that it creates, and then it completely breaks that logic because like just in that moment of he doesn't want to be a sacrifice, and then he's like, okay, I'm going to be a sacrifice kind of thing, and now it doesn't matter. Like it just could have been something. It could have been a movie.
But sometimes you need a monster to fight a monster.
Sometimes you need a monster to fight a monster.
Fight a monster.
Fight a monster, I will.
The we'll just give him a gem really when we need him.
Lift the curtain.
And he'll be here.
Getting back to the age difference as well, there is 22 years between Annabelle Wallace and Tom Cruise. And
you're a younger girl.
Yeah, if you're a younger girl. I'm like...
No judgment here.
I get
it. Sometimes you need a monster.
Sometimes you need a monster. But I get that Tom Cruise would probably be able to get a like a girl that's a, like a younger partner.
Like
that's 22 years younger, but not Tom Cruise, the character in this movie. I don't get that.
They should have gotten just cast similar to Ilsa Faust's from Mission Impossible. I forget her name, her real name.
Yeah.
I just remember her Mission Impossible name. But she was like...
Rebecca Ferguson. Right?
Rebecca Ferguson. I don't think the age difference is as big as 22 years, but it doesn't matter. You don't see it with her, but you do see it with Jenny.
You know what? The age difference is pretty close. I think it's actually... I think Rebecca Ferguson is even younger than Jenny.
Rebecca Ferguson looks
Jenny.
Like, she looks more mature.
Yeah,
I guess.
There you go.
So, she is.
So, Rebecca Ferguson, if you want to come on the podcast
there's
as well.
1 year between Rebecca Ferguson and Annabelle Wallace and Rebecca Ferguson. So, it's 21-year age difference between Tom Cruise and Rebecca.
That's the sweet spot.
Yeah. Well, yeah, exactly. See, my problem was 22. 22 years, too many years.
That's right.
21.
21.
Fine. Yeah.
Fine. Golly. Yeah.
I
the math
and then you've got Roger Moore.
Yeah. It's basically like James Bond here. Like he's like
her mum is young enough to be my daughter.
It's so bad.
That's why he gave up being James Bond, wasn't it? Because of that Hulk. Because
he's like,
I am too old for this.
Yeah,
it was View to a Kill.
Good call.
He's like, I'm old.
Too old for this.
But anyway, so let's get into Birds. What do you guys give this out of Birds? All where does it fall? Like you both said that it flips the bird, right? Like it
No.
Yeah. No? Oh, yeah. Okay, it's, so Dean, you said it flips a bird. So where does it fall
for I'm a high flip.
Yeah?
Okay. I would say it's like, frick, two to like the lower spectrum of 2.5.
Wait, what?
It's
just like under the like the so midpoint. Like
2.2 or something?
We need a midpoint still.
Like, is that
2.2 birds, for sure. Right. If we can get that specific, wow. I would wow. love...
Wow. Holy
2.2 balls, birds.
Oh, wow. That's
44%.
Yeah. Don't change anyway. The decibel, please. Yeah,
we're not doing that. So you got to make a two decision, birds. Dude. Two birds. All right. Two birds.
I'll round up. Five.
Yeah, I'm surprised you're not by the end of this thing, like the end of this podcast, I'm surprised you're not at like four or five. Yeah,
you're right, because we realized that we established that there are no faults.
Yeah, yeah,
so
we
therefore
have.
This must be a perfect film.
We have talked about. Yeah, so. I honestly think I don't want to give anything away, but this could be my first five bird review.
Holy crap!
Yeah,
tell you what. Movie studios should hire Jason and I because if we can have that effect on Dean every week, we should, like, they could be like, you know what, go and spend an hour with this group, just get them psyched about the movie.
No, I'm
knock it up a star for us.
Yeah.
DC, looking at you.
Yeah,
I think I'm a lot easier to like to be influenced than
peer pressure sure you very people. Well.
I'm quite peer pressure.
You didn't do accents for like 3 months.
Yeah, you're right. And then this is the thing. I've got my guard up because of recently you've been like, oh, Dean, sorry for ripping on you for your accents, your impressions. We really want you to bring them back because we think they're
when
great.
When did we say sorry? We should...
I apologized. I am sorry.
Like,
for
I'll bring them
off.
Back. They're great. We really appreciate them. It's like,
hey, are you
I've had a great night for accents. I've had a great night of accents.
I want to believe you, but everything in my body is saying don't. Just
don't trust him.
I want you to do more.
All right, so anyways, getting back to your birth.
So Michael Caine's given it a 2.2.
No, but wait, are you like, come on, make a decision. Two, is it two birds? Yeah. Is that what it is?
Two birds. I'll give two.
Okay,
two birds.
Cool.
Good.
That was tough. Just getting that out of you. Paul, what do you give this set of birds? Come on, man.
I'm gonna give it 2.6.
Oh, God.
Yep, 2 2/3. No, I'd give it 2.5.
Yep.
It is. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, what do we call it? Yeah. It's an ordinary ostrich.
Oh, I thought it was ordinary daughter's like ostrich. A dodo, isn't it?
Daughter's. No, you kept saying that. We never agreed on that.
Yeah, but you came up with daughter's like a dodo. Didn't
no, I came up with ordinary ostrich.
You came up with daughter's like a dodo. I thought that was you. I think that was
someone
you,
on Facebook.
Yeah. Okay, okay, fair enough.
Here's an idea. Well, we need to officialize
like,
this, by the way.
I think, you know what? It doesn't actually fit the criteria of Daughters Like a Dodo because I think it is actually enjoyable in that way. So I think that Daughters Like a Dodo is like an all right movie, but kind of boring.
It's like a two.
What about a flying chicken? Like, what? It's...
They don't exist.
It's something that's... Well, exactly.
And it's Dodo's kind of
impossible.
Too?
Yes!
Jason?
Yes. As like, it's impressive that it's just
getting
off the ground.
It's a terrible internet provider.
But you still want to eat it. This is true.
Should have gone with Dodo. Literally no one ever.
With Dodo.
Maybe Ethiopia. Oh, man. Oh, buddy.
Yeah.
We'll pray for you.
So, yeah, I feel like Daughters Like a Dodo doesn't really fit the bill. I think like Ordinary
Plus I hate
Ostrich.
It.
Oh, Bill.
I think that's... So, yeah. Oh, no. Yeah. Oh, God.
Oh. Hang on, well, no, Jason, Jason, I'm on your side for this. Dean, what bird has a bill, real quick? Besides ducks.
Pelican?
Yep. What else?
Platypus?
You're gonna have beaks, perchance? What?
What?
You know what? I went after you for saying bill.
I was
and
like,
I'm in my did, head yeah. I'm like, dude, so many
so
birds
many
have
birds
bills.
Have bills.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I was like, this is a like, really weird
time to retreat.
Like, wow,
it's a weird flex.
Yeah,
it hasn't paid off, and like, I'd like to back off on this one.
A deflating flex.
That was a good pun, Jason. Bill, classic.
You can tell I was super prepared for Paul's attack here. Like, what ducks have bills? What birds have bills? Pelican? Platypus? I'm totally prepared.
Wait, real quick. What? I might jump on you for that one. What'd you say?
Platypus. I'm glad you missed it the first time.
All right, a 2.5 is now a plausible platypus.
Yes.
You heard it here first, folks. You know that bird that we all love, the platypus, that's on the 20-cent piece?
Wait, maybe we could have that because, like, I mean, we are an Australian podcast, so we could be like...
Yeah.
Plays like a platypus.
Plausible platypus.
Flies like a platypus.
I'd love it if we just had an emu. Like a 2.5 is the emu.
Emu. Yeah, okay, that's where it is. Anyways.
It's like an emu. That's too hard to say.
Let's wrap this sucker up. Anyway. Yes.
Yeah, 2.5 from me.
2.5 from me as well. I didn't hate it as much as the first time that I watched it.
Yeah.
I feel like it could definitely be part of the Mission Impossible series.
I disagree.
I reckon it could be like, you know, Mission Impossible 9 or something like that. It's like where it's headed kind of thing. Like, you know.
Mummy Impossible.
Like, yeah. But so that brings us to the end of this week's podcast. I hope you enjoyed the show. If you like the show and you want to support the show, you can visit our Patreon page at patreon.com/nerdsbeforebirds. You can contribute any amount starting at $1 a month, and that just helps us to keep the lights on. Otherwise, if you can't support us financially and you want to support the show, you can write a review on whatever platform that you're listening to us on right now, especially iTunes really helps us get out there. We're on
iTunes is like the Mercury of the dark universe. Like it's just, it keeps the evil people away and it just gives us really great results.
Exactly. Yes. Sure. Yeah. That's what we want. So like, you don't even have to write a long review either. It doesn't have to be heaps wordy. Just give us a thumbs up, 5 out of 5 and just say, yeah, you love the podcast. If you do, you don't, no pressure if you don't love it, but you know,
if you didn't like it to a 5-star level, maybe review it on like Stitcher or SoundCloud. 5-star though, people, go to iTunes.
Yeah.
Smash the 5-star button.
Please do.
Should, like, if you like us, write us a review. If you don't, support us on Patreon.
Exactly. And we're also on...
I'll give you $1 to shut up.
We're also on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram as well. We have polls on Facebook and just heaps of little information. We also have on our website, nerdsbeforebirds.com, we also have written reviews and a lot of links on how to listen to us, a little bit about ourselves as well. If you want to jump on there and have a look, there is on all the socials. So Nerds Before Birds on all the socials, except for Twitter, where we're Nerds Before Bird. That brings us to the end of the show. I hope you enjoyed it. Bye, guys.
Oi.
You go and have yourself a good week, eh?